Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at St. Mark's today, where we get to extend our Christmas celebration by doing what Mary did, by pondering the great things that God has done for us, especially in the gift of our Savior Jesus. But we also get to see what happens when we pull a Mary and we stop pondering and we start thinking. Start thinking independently of God's will and independently of God's promises. Nothing good happened for Mary, nothing good happens for us when we fall into that trap too. So may God bless us as he redirects us to the manger and to his promises and enables us to truly ponder the great things God has done for us. To guide us in our worship, we'll use the order of service printed completely in the worship booklet for this morning. And we begin worship by joining our voices together and praising God. We do so with hymn 56. Let us worship the Lord. Worship continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love him and to serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and his punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in mercy you sent your one and only Son to take upon himself our human nature. By his gracious coming, deliver us from the corruption of our sin and transform us into the likeness of his glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
There's an interesting connection between our first lesson and the gospel for today. Here we see a young boy serving the Lord in the temple, and in the gospel we see Jesus doing the same. Both were about their Father's will, both were serving their Savior God. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. This is the word of the Lord. The Psalm of the Day is Psalm 147, printed on page 5. After the soloist introduces the refrain, we will join in the refrain and then sing the refrains with the soloist as they appear in the psalm. Psalm 147.
Thank you. The second lesson is recorded in Hebrews chapter 2. In this lesson, we are reminded why the Word was made flesh, why Jesus was born for us, and what his ministry accomplished for us. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again he says, "Here I am, and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for their sins, for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn of the day. This morning it is hymn 41.
In the name of your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, in the name of the Prince of Peace, in the name of Jesus. I have some thoughts to share with you that are based on the gospel for today. And because it is bowl season, I feel completely justified in talking about football for a little bit. And I know there are some non-football fans here, but bowl season isn't all that bad. The commercials on TV are better. You have an excuse to get together with family and friends and eat a lot of food. For some of you, there's halftime shows. There's a Tournament of Roses parade. There's all kinds of great stuff that comes along with football. And since I've been watching a bunch of football, I was thinking about my college football coach and some of the great one-liners that he had. And I know every coach has them, and I know that these aren't all unique to him, but these are some of them that he enjoyed sharing with us. From time to time, he would get a little frustrated with how we played on Saturdays. Maybe sometimes it was because we didn't work hard, sometimes we just goofed up, whatever. But he would enjoy helping us work these issues out on Mondays at practice. And we'd go on these nice long runs, and he would say, "You love this, you love this, work the poison out, work the poison out." That's a couple of my favorites. Another one that I enjoyed hearing him say, when we would have two different drills going on, and it was always the defense's fault, and the defense and the offense, they would kind of collide and get in each other's ways. He would say, "Come on, guys, we paid for the whole field," and he would push us out a little bit farther. Or every once in a while, and again, this never happened to me, but every once in a while, somebody would come off the field after botching a play and would say, "Sorry, coach," and say, "Don't be sorry, just don't do it again." Or sometimes somebody would come off the field saying, "Well, I was just thinking," and say, "Stop thinking. We don't pay you to think.
we pay you to do. And so now if you can take a major leap with me from football to Jerusalem to the temple, we see a time when Mary and Joseph started thinking instead of treasuring. And just like if you're playing football or if you're at work, whatever it is, if you start thinking, and despite what people think, it takes a lot of cognition to play football. But if you stop thinking, start thinking, and independently insert your thoughts into the game plan or into a particular play, it very quickly becomes disruptive, it becomes destructive, and things aren't going to go very well. Same thing happened in the temple when Mary stopped treasuring and started thinking. Luke tells us every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And was it wrong? Was it wrong for a mom and dad to want to know where their son was? Absolutely not. But they started thinking. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Now, was this a natural response? Is this the way you would have talked to your son? Stop thinking. Mary and Joseph forgot everything that they knew about their son. Everything that the angel Gabriel told them about Jesus, everything that the Old Testament scriptures told them about Jesus, everything about this Passover feast, that Jesus' job was to offer himself as a sacrificial lamb. And they started thinking on their own. They took it so far as to think that Jesus had intentionally wronged them, went out of his way to hurt them. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Can you imagine accusing God of intentionally hurting you? Accusing God of causing you anxiety? Accusing God of causing you stress? "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" One commentary called this a gentle, timely rebuke. You know, Jesus could have responded to his mom in a lot of different ways. You know, "Mary, knock it off. Mary, get back on board. Mary, stop thinking. You know, Mary, what are you doing? Why are you talking like this? Mary, stop sinning before I send you to hell for accusing me of not loving you, of hurting you, of causing you anxiety and stress." Instead, with a gentle rebuke, he says, "Mom, remember why you had me in the first place. Remember what my job is. Remember that I have a bigger will, that this is part of a bigger plan." And with a gentle rebuke, he brought his mom back on board. "Mom, stop thinking and start treasuring." It was a pretty powerful rebuke at that, too, because just stop and think, what would have happened had Jesus let this go? Or what would have happened if Jesus said, "Okay, Mom, I get your point. I'll go back home with you"? Now, I know it's kind of futile to think this way because God promises one of many in Psalm 103, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all." God would have found a way to fix this and make it right. But what would have happened if Joseph dragged him out of the temple, marched him back home, grounded him forever, and said, "You will be with us, you will stay at home, you will work with me, and we will know where you are 24/7. I think a lot of good things would have happened. Their relationship would have been much better. A lot less stress in their lives. Jesus never would have mixed it up with the high priests. He never would have upset the Pharisees. He never would have upset the Sadducees. But Jesus never would have called the 12. And that's not a bad thing either. Then Peter never would have denied Jesus, and that would be okay. Jesus' life would not have been cut short before the age of 35, and that would be a good thing too. But look what happens when people start thinking. There would be no Christmas. There would be no Christmas lights. There would be no Christmas trees. There would be no eggnog. There would be no Christmas celebrations, because there would be no Christmas. Because if Mary had her way on this day, the baby that she wrapped in swaddling clothes would have grown up to be a teenager in teenager clothes. He would have lived to be 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and wore grown-up clothes. And then he would have put on a funeral shroud, just like every other person. And he would have died and would have stayed dead because he would have failed in his job as Savior. The writer to the Hebrews said Jesus did all this so that, quote, he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Yes, Mary would have saved herself a lot of stress. Things would have been very good, a good relationship with Jesus, until she would have spent forever in hell with you and with me, because she started thinking and she got her son to get on board with her plan, and then he would have failed in God's plan. So, is it really fair that God put Mary and Joseph in this situation? After all, they were just looking for their son. Wasn't it just natural and human for Mary and Joseph to get a little upset with Jesus? Before you answer, stop thinking. Because the harder you think to answer those questions, the worse your answer to those questions is going to be, and the more you are going to sound like this: Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Thinking leads to all kinds of weird questions. Have you ever asked God why he's treating you so unfairly? Have you ever asked God why he's causing you so much anxiety and so much stress in your life? Have you ever started really overthinking everything and said, okay, I know you sent Jesus to be my Savior from sin, but how about Jesus does a little bit to save me from this? And then you go on to rant about what God should be doing and what God isn't fixing for you. Have you ever started thinking so much and say, you know, God, thank you for the Ten Commandments. You know, thank you for telling me to do this and not to do that. But here's what I'm going to do. This is the sin I'm going to do, because you're not treating me right. And I'm not getting out of life what I want to get out of life. Have you ever started thinking so much, and then you think you're right, and then you sound like this? Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Mary got this one wrong. And we know we did, because Jesus shared a gentle rebuke with her. Mary, stop thinking and start treasuring. And when she did, when she stopped thinking for herself, she found comfort from outside of her. She found peace that came from outside of her in her son Jesus, and that saw her through the rest of her life as she continued to bring up Jesus. Jesus went home. Jesus was obedient to her. But to think that she never goofed up again. Wedding at Cana. Jesus, do something. We're out of wine. Jesus gently rebuked her. Stop thinking for herself. Mary, I got it. Everything's going to be okay. And when she started treasuring and pondering, she found peace and she found strength and she found comfort in her son, her Savior Jesus. So, when you get it wrong, stop thinking and start treasuring the promises that God makes to you. And thank him for a gentle rebuke. Thank God for those gentle rebukes in his word when he calls you back. And he says, you know what? You're wrong. What you're thinking is wrong. What you're accusing me of is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And gently brings you back to this promise. The promise secured in the second lesson for today. Since children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear to death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Your sins and my sins of thinking and accusing God and of doing things that are flat out wrong have been fully paid for by that baby who was wrapped in cloths, who grew up to be a perfect teenager in the temple of his father, who grew up to live a perfect life and offered a perfect sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Stop thinking and start pondering and treasuring who your Savior God is. The writer to the Hebrews has a really neat way of describing him and the relationship we have with him. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Do you think it was always easy for Jesus to be the Son of God and to have a human mom? Just think how hard it must have been for him to see Mary suffering at different times in his life and think, you know what, maybe just this once, maybe just this one time I can stop being God and help her. Just think what it must have been like for Jesus growing up being a teenager, growing up being a young adult and seeing people sin around him and maybe even having fun doing it, maybe even getting ahead doing it. Do you ever think he stopped thinking, oh, maybe just once, maybe just one time could I? Would that be good to do that? Or when it came time for him to suffer and die, as he looked down and he saw his mom crying because he was hurting. Maybe God now, but he never did. He never did once. He knows what it's like to be fully tempted. He knows what it's like to be stressed. He knows what it's like to be anxious. He knows what it's like to have a mom and a dad. He knows what it's like to be tempted to sin. That's why he's your perfect Savior. So stop thinking and start treasuring who he is and what he's done for you and the promises he makes to you. Here's just a few of them. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus did everything necessary for you and for me to win heaven for us so we can be comforted now, so that we can be at peace with God now. Other familiar promises, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Stop thinking and start treasuring the promises God makes to you. Jesus said it this way in Matthew's gospel, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And I think it's probably timely because it's been, what, just a couple days since Christmas? And maybe you're wondering where all the Christmas peace went. Or maybe you're thinking it's been 2 days since God made these promises at Christmas time and life still stinks. Or the peace is all used up. And I'm still anxious about this, and I'm still stressed about that, and I still sin, and I still did this, even 2 days after Christmas. Stop thinking and start treasuring. This is who your Savior God is. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Your Savior God reigns over every situation in your life. Your Savior God, Jesus, is still carrying out his Father's will in your life to help you through hard times, to strengthen you and grow you through difficult times, to love you and forgive you, and to share a gentle rebuke with you when you start thinking. So treasure those rebukes that God shares with you. Sometimes he shares them in his word. Treasure them if he shares them from a mom or from a dad. Treasure them if he shares them through a Christian brother or sister. That's your wonderful counselor gently counseling you and calling you back. Christmas is a good time to redirect and to refocus. So stop thinking about what God hasn't said. Stop thinking about what God hasn't done and what you wish he would do. And remember to treasure what he has said and what he has done. Then you'll have that same peace and calm and confidence that got Mary through her life and home to heaven. It'll get you through your life and home to heaven too. May God bless your Christmas celebrations as you treasure who your Savior God is. Amen. Please stand. And let's encourage one another and witness with one another our Christian faith. We do so by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. You will find them on page 8 in the worship book. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we gather our gifts for our God this morning. Let us pray for God's work among us, God's work among his church. O Lord God, Father in heaven, in the fullness of time you sent your Son to be the light of the world and to gather from all nations of the earth a redeemed people. We give you praise and thanks for having so graciously provided for us and for our salvation. We thank you that through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, we have received adoption as children, that we may call you Abba, Father, assured that you are most truly our loving Father and that we are your own dear children.
O Heavenly Father, grant that we who were under the yoke of sin may in Christ be guarded against the temptations of the devil and the world around us. Empower us by your Spirit to perform works fit for repentance and to faithfully do your will with a glad heart. Let your grace rest upon us that we may be strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom, and grow in all which leads us to find favor in your sight. Let the brightness of your glory shine upon all who feel the need of your almighty aid, for our sick, for our wounded, for our hurt and troubled, for our fallen, and for our absent fellow brothers and sisters, we pray. Give to them whatever they may need, soundness of body, strength of faith, or security of hope. In your Son, grant them all the assurance of your salvation. We ask that you hear us, O Father, in these our petitions and those petitions that are heavy on our hearts this morning. Direct and govern our hearts that we may be preserved in the one holy Christian faith until you call us to life everlasting with you. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue by pondering the Christmas message by singing together hymn 54. Please stand for our closing prayer and song. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Please be seated. It was good to treasure and ponder the good news of Christmas with you today. May God so enable you to do so in the week ahead. To our worship guests, some family and friends who are here, it was very nice to have you in God's house today. We're pleased to share the good news of Jesus with you. I don't have any announcements to share for you that are not found printed in the weekly announcements for you, so please take those on your way out, other than to encourage you to come to worship for New Year's Eve song service. You'll find it's a great way to close out the year and to get ready for another year. That will be Thursday at 7 o'clock. So Thursday at 7 o'clock, another chance to get together for worship. Please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out, and I look forward to visiting with you one more time in the lobby on your way out.